If Auburn could fix one thing on offense on Saturday, I think they could win and win a lot more down the stretch.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to rock and roll. We're only one day away. Feels like it's been a month. For Auburn football again versus Missouri, going on the road, early game, got to get up, got to get those mimosas flowing, Bloody Marys, whatever you got to do to get up and get ready for the game. We're only one day away. So we're going to talk about something today. I've been really diving into the numbers. I care less about the what's and more about the whys. I think that why things are happening the way they are. Why does it seem like Auburn is having success on offense, but it's not yielding results? And I think I may have stumbled onto something. We're going to break it down here in just a second. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND and get a double up deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back. And you can do that up to, I believe, $1,000. So give them $500. They'll give you another $500 back, totaling $1,000. Totally free to play with. So all the sports betting lines that you can imagine. I believe the Auburn line is moving. It opened in favor of Missouri at about 6.5, 7 points. It started to slide towards Auburn quite a bit. You got time. You can still jump on that if you want to at mybookie.ag. And just don't forget to, on your first deposit, to double it up, man. To double up that deposit on your first on the very first one. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So like I said, I like to look into the whys. I'm not so much about it's easy to say if Auburn just does this, if Auburn just does that, if Hugh would just do this, if Hugh would just do that, it would change everything. Okay. And the question is not that he's not, that Hugh hasn't done this, or that Hugh hasn't done that, or that we're not doing this. It's why. What's happening? So I like to dive into the numbers and look at that. And I think I found something that I think is key for Auburn. If they could figure out a way to change this moving forward, I think they could have a lot more success. A lot more success, control the game more, and then hopefully punch in and score some points as well. Auburn has had a really tough time this year sustaining drives. You can look at it's weird because your yards per game is up. Your yards per game is up from last year. It's up really high. You're up towards the top of the conference in yards per game. But your time of possession and the total number of plays are extremely low. We're talking about your play total number of plays run is towards the bottom of the league. And that doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing, because Alabama has the lowest. So we're second lowest in total plays. Alabama is the lowest, but Alabama is also one of the top teams in scoring offense, which we are not. So we're relying on a lot of big plays. Our offense is built sort of on big plays, but you're not able to score points. You're not able to punch it in. And an example that comes to mind is the Oklahoma game, where it's the next to last drive before we have the big turnover. Okay. You start the drive and you hand it to Jarquez, and he rips off a 20 plus yard run. Okay. Big play, explosive play. And then you turn around and you go three plays and then you miss the field goal. So that seems to be a theme quite frequently, that Auburn will have a big play, which will account for a lot of the yardage, but you're not able to, you're not able to punch it in. And less plays gives, you got a lot of mouths to feed. Okay. So when you have less plays, you're going to have less carries. When you have less plays, you're going to have less targets. I've talked to people that say, oh, Keandre Lambert Smith needs 12 targets a game. Jarquez needs 20 plus carries a game. Okay, well, right there, you're over half of the total plays that Auburn's averaging in a game right now. You know, what about Cam Coleman? What about Malcolm Simmons? What about Jeremiah Cobb? What about Damari Austin? When you can't sustain drives, when you can't get, you know, when you can't continue to get first downs, when it's just big play and then punt, or big play and then turnover, or big play and then, you know, turnover on downs, or big play and then a field goal, you're not able to get a lot more people involved like they need to be. And I think you have some players that you can control the game with. You just have to be able to sustain drives and have to be able to control the clock a lot better than what Auburn's done over the first six games. And I think there's a couple of ways that Auburn can do this. And number one, I think there's really two ways that Auburn can do this and really make a huge difference in how this offense looks moving forward. So number one, I've said it a bunch of times, but I think it's short-sighted, and I think it's sort of, I'm just going to say, casual to say, just give the ball to Jarquez needs 20 plus carries. If you don't give Jarquez 20 plus carries, then your philosophy screwed up. Then, you know, we really got to question this. We really got to question that. And I think that, you know, if you're just on a pitch count, you know, if you're just on a pitch count in your head, okay, we got to get Jarquez a carry here. Okay, now we're up to 14. We got to get to 15. If it's just like that, then you start calling plays outside of the situation that it may call for. So what needs to change, in my opinion, is situational Jarquez. Not necessarily give him more carries, but situationally, maybe the philosophy needs to change to get him more touches in situations, not just a blanket overall. And I think if you do that, you will yield yourself, you know, obviously more touches for Jarquez, and then help actually sustain drives a little bit more. So look, yards per carry for Jarquez is fantastic. Okay. I mean, he's up towards the top of the conference in yards per carry. Hugh really focuses on that. His total yards, he's on pace to go over 1,000 yards, having a really good season. But again, the consensus everybody thinks is, hey, the ball, Jarquez needs the ball more. We don't know how, we don't know why, but he just needs the ball more. So here's some things when we talk about situational, you know, percent of touches. So in other words, if you look at all the teams that have feature backs, your Arkansas, Tennessee, Ole Miss has a feature back, like especially in the conference. When you look at total plays versus percent of touches, Jarquez is right there as far as that goes. Like, he's right there on par with all the, you know, the better offenses that have a feature back. But again, you're just not able to sustain drives. So you got to figure out ways to get him the ball more. But it needs to be very, I think it needs to be very targeted, very situational. So what are some situations? Okay, Auburn's one of the lower teams in the conference as far as red zone drives. It looks like they've only had 18 total opportunities through six games in the red zone. Okay, so we all know what that is. Once you get inside the 20-yard line, that's the red zone. Auburn scores a lot from outside the red zone. So again, that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, but when you're in the red zone, you need to be able to punch it in. So in 18 trips to the red zone, Jarquez has had 13 carries, which to me is an issue. Now, that's a situation that things need to change. Now, his yards per carry on those 13 carries inside the red zone are pretty bad. And I've said it before, is like, if they know we have to run, Auburn's not quite good enough to just line up and push you off the line yet. I think you're going to get there with look at the recruiting class that's coming in and continuing to build. You're not quite there yet where you have the man on man that you can just blow people off the ball, and be able to, you know, get, you know, rip off big gains or get 2 or 3 yard tough yards when you have to get it. And, you know, this kind of proves that, that, you know, his, again, 13 carries, he's averaging less than 2 yards a carry inside the red zone. But still, that's 13 touches in 18 drives. So there's some drives inside the red zone where Jarquez doesn't even touch the ball, period. And I think that's obviously, you know, not ideal. I think that needs to change. So, again, that's a little thing that can help in time of possession, because if Jarquez isn't touching it, more than likely we're throwing it around in the red zone, which I don't necessarily hate. But, again, that's a situation where I think you could put the ball in Jarquez's hands a little bit more inside the red zone. That will in turn get his total carries up and may hurt his yards per carry. But that's a situation where I feel like Jarquez could be utilized more, whether it's in the run game, whether it's in the pass game, red zone. Auburn has very few trips to the red zone, but when they do get there, they're not using one of their best players, and that's Jarquez Hunter. So that's a situation that I would like to see, I think, Auburn utilize Jarquez a lot more. Another one, he has – first of all, I know a lot of people say run it more on first down, you know, give him the ball, whatever. Over half of his carries, well over half of his carries, I think he's got 75 or 78 total carries, and somewhere in the mid-40s to high-40s is how many carries he gets on first down. So well over half of his carries come on first down. The vast majority of his carries come between the 20s, and that's whenever he's ripping off those big runs, and then we kind of bog down when we get to the red zone. But one thing, he has zero carries on third down and 4 to 6 yards, which are typically passing downs. Look, and I understand you don't want to understand that, again, those are typically passing downs. And I'm not saying like every time you get on third and 4 to 6 that you should hand it to Jarquez. But I can think of a couple of scenarios. Number one, against Oklahoma, 3rd and 4. That's a situation where, you know, you don't have to have a pass. So why not, you know, you know, why not run the ball there or give it to Jarquez? Zero carries in third and 4 to 6 yards. That's an obvious passing down. So therefore, people are going to be expecting a pass. It could be a situation. I'm not saying you need to have 10 carries there, but you know, 4 or 5 carries in those scenarios, who knows what happens? I don't know what our third down and 4 to 6 conversion rate is, but that could be another situation where you get Jarquez involved. Zero carries on 3rd and 4 to 6. And then the last thing, and I think this is underutilized big time, is more touches in the passing game. It doesn't have to just be turn around and hand it off. Last year, Jarquez really struggled catching the ball. This year, he seems to be a much bigger weapon on third down. He had a big third down conversion, I believe, against Georgia. He obviously had the long touchdown pass on third. I believe it was on third down against New Mexico, where it was sort of like a check down. Jarquez needs to be a feature not only in the running game, but definitely in the passing game. More touches in the passing game would be massive. Those little rollout passes to him in the flat, check downs, those little wheel routes where you kind of get him coming out of the backfield. He's a weapon. He's a weapon. And a lot of times when you're getting catches, you're in space. And that's where Jarquez sometimes is even better, because he has incredible vision. The first tackler is going to really struggle bringing him down. And hey, he'll jump over your tail. If he's got space and he's got a little bit ahead of steam, he'll jump right over the top of you. That's one thing. Has he done that this year? It seems like every year. Yeah, he did. He did I think one of the first games, because he jumped him and got tackled at the same time. He hurdles a child every single year. So that's definitely something that's on the table. Got to get Jarquez more involved in the passing game. I think that passing game, that's a situational Jarquez that I think we could utilize more. Red zone, definitely. 13 carries and 18 red zone drives. That's definitely something that I want to see him get more involved in. And then, You know, it doesn't have to be every time, but a switch up on third and four, third and five, to that's sort of like a signaling a passing down. Maybe we can mix in something to Jarquez, whether it be a run or some kind of pass to him on third down. That would be something that I think could be very, very beneficial. And then the last way to sustain drives that we're going to talk about is pretty obvious, but it's definitely something that needs to be discussed. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. Look, I've said it to him blue in the face. There's zero reason for you not to call Ford Stokes. There's zero reason for you to not give yourself the best opportunity to maximize what you've worked so hard to save and build. There's zero reason not to give him a shout. Just double check. Hey, it's a $1,500 plus value. You get it absolutely free just to have a second set of eyes, look over everything. He may have some products that he has access to that you're not taking advantage of. He may have some ideas on ways that you can reduce fees that you may not be aware of. So many different things. It's completely risk-free. Why not do it? You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family to give it another look. So give him a shout. Give him a shout. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him we're Eagle. Tell him I sent you, and make a great friend at the same time. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. The last thing's kind of obvious, but turnovers. Turnovers have been sort of the theme of the year. You have two games where you have the vast majority of your turnovers, and both of them are games that were very winnable that are losses. You got Cal in Arkansas, where you have the vast majority of your turnovers. That in both games, you're moving the ball, but you're turning it over, and it's killing drives. Turnovers are another reason why Auburn's total plays are down, because you go on a drive, you start moving the ball, and then boom, you have an untimely fumble, or you throw an interception, or a ball goes off a receiver's hands, and it ends up being an interception. So many plays in the Arkansas game, where it's like either on first or second down. So before you can even get a drive going, sometimes you're turning the ball over, which obviously keeps your time of possession and your total number of plays down. Now, in the last two games, Auburn has had one turnover. So you have Oklahoma. It was the worst turnover you could possibly have at the time. And then Georgia, you had zero. And in both games, offensively, you pretty much control – I don't want to say controlled the game, but Oklahoma you did. You kind of controlled the game on offense. You kind of did whatever you wanted to. And then Georgia, you're right there in it, you know, completely outmanned, but you're right there in it until the untimely fourth and one, whatever happened, and then sort of the floodgates open from there. But turning over the ball, protecting the ball is something that is extremely, extremely important for this offense. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping that with the off week, you've eliminated the turnovers that can result from communication, you know, running wrong routes, throwing wrong routes, not being able to understand what the check is or the situation, or, you know, making a check that maybe, I'm sorry, I want to make sure the terminology is there, making a check that's not necessarily there, or we're not all on the same page. Like, hopefully, and Hugh mentioned that if that were to happen, it would be infuriating with how much they've worked on it over the last 2 weeks. You've had your game plan in since, you know, Monday or Tuesday of this week. So then you've just had time to sort of coach and coach and coach and coach to make sure that those communicational turnovers aren't going to be there, or going to be extremely lacking. So turnovers are massive, and Auburn sort of righted the ship a little bit on turnovers. And I think you sort of righted your ship against two of the best defenses in the country. But, you know, obviously it yielded, you know, two losses, because the one turnover changed the game. And then, you know, Georgia, you just couldn't get enough going. You couldn't get enough yards. You couldn't get enough explosive plays, to change that game. So sustaining drives is the key, I think, from here on out. Auburn's got to be able to hold the ball a little bit longer, get more plays in. And what that's going to do is give more mouths opportunity, give more dudes opportunity to be able to make plays. You got a lot of playmakers. You got a lot of guys that you can feed. And it doesn't all, they don't all have to be 30 to 40 plus yard plays. I mean, Auburn's good there. You know you have the explosive plays, but you don't have to have them. That doesn't have to be how your offense, you know, is facilitated. It doesn't have to be facilitated through big plays. You can take the, you know, 5-6 yards at a time. That's totally fine. You don't have to average 7 or 8 yards a play like they are right now, which is great, but it's not yielding points. It's not yielding wins. So I think if you can increase the use of Jarquez in certain situations, sort of build the red zone around Jarquez, work him into the passing game a little bit more, I think it's something that could be very, very beneficial. And then protecting the ball. Continue to protect the ball. You did good, decent over the last 2 games. Can you keep that going over this next little stretch? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. So let's see what happens. Again, this game's very winnable. We're going to break down Missouri, who they are, who to watch, what players to watch, and where the mismatches might be. We're going to talk about that tomorrow and know the enemy. And you're going to have to get up early and get after it, because it's going to be rise and shine game time. So, guys, I really appreciate you listening. You need to sign up for the Barn, Auburn.com. You only have the $1 promo intro for the first month for a little bit longer. So definitely check us out there and jump in the conversation. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Get in the comments. I pretty much respond to every single one, so we can have a conversation there. You can find me anywhere, but you can follow me on Twitter at @the_Charlie_5. We're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.